We are all in a dance with our spiritual lives. Some of us are pretty much always sitting on the sideline waiting to be invited to the dance. Some of us are afraid to leave the dance floor and are a little bit like the characters in They Shoot Horses, don't they? We try to tap dance our way into God's love to win the prize. Some of us dance because we want attention. Many of us sit out most of the dances. But the real spiritual truth is, life is an ongoing dance. It's not just when you're on the dance floor. This is really something that you have been called into, that you have been engaged in. And it's really a matter of what you're looking for in this dance. I know dance is an odd metaphor, but we are either engaging God or disengaging. We are either being led or we're trying to lead. We're either conscious of this profound engagement that we have with this extraordinary partner, or we're deeply unconscious of it. Most of us look like people with two left feet. We dance erratically on the dance floor. We're trying to go one way and life is trying to lead us another way. We want to be in charge and then we don't want to be in charge. We all want to be graceful, but most of us don't know how. It's really interesting if you watch those dance programs, because one of the things you learn is that anybody can look good if they have a good partner. The only thing it takes is work. And every single person on those shows, and I watched them on occasion, every single person said, I had no idea how hard this was going to be. And they had no idea how hard it's going to be because even with a great partner, you have to figure it out. You have to do the footwork. You have to understand that there are patterns, there are movements, there are ways to perform, if you will, that make you look graceful and makes your effort look effortless. Those who are clunky on the dance floor are people who are not allowing the partner to lead them with complete trust, complete surrender. They're worried about how they look. They're worried about how they'll be judged. They're worried about how the universe will respond to them. And that worry puts them in their head. And there's always a sense of those little judges sitting over there on the side watching them and going, what do they think of me? It's like conscience or mind. And so you watch these people on the dance floor and they're kind of always looking over their shoulder to see, how am I doing? What's happening? Am I being loved? And the more they think, the more they miss their steps, the more awkward they become. And the people who just give over to this extraordinary partner find themselves in this extraordinary, graceful movement that requires extraordinary consciousness, extraordinary attention to detail, consistent effort, and then absolute surrender. Now, if this metaphor is not sinking in, let me try to make it a little more specific. We're all dancing with God, period. All day, all night. Some of us are looking over our shoulder. Some of us want to win the contest. Some of us want to be loved and adored for our dancing. Some of us wish we didn't have to do it. Some of us wish we never were brought onto the dance floor. But here we are. We're all in it, every one of us. And what is the goal of this? What is the goal? Well, on TV it's to win, not to be eliminated. And maybe in certain sense life is like that too. Don't kill me. I don't want to die. I want to stay on the dance floor. But on the dance floor they allow a lot of clunky people in the world. But the goal really isn't to stay on the dance floor. The goal really isn't to win anything. The goal isn't to be loved by the judges or anybody else or to look good or to look however you want to appear. The goal is to love the dance. Love it. Be present in the dance. Let God lead. Stop trying to think you're in charge. Stop trying to think you know better. Feel the slight movements and guiding that come from being led. Feel what it means to have somebody take you and make you look good. Understand that yes, you have to work. Yes, you have to practice. Yes, you have to be there every day to get it to work right. But when you get it to work right, the effortlessness, the ease, and the beauty of the movement and the performance is so exquisite, you don't need anyone to judge. You don't care. You don't need anyone to tell you you're this or you're that. It doesn't matter. What matters is you are dancing with God. And you are loving it. You are loving every moment. And you are loving every moment because you are aware of what a privilege it is, what a gift it is to be in this extraordinary embrace with some entity, if you will, that knows exactly what it's doing and is trying to make you look good. If you can understand that, the dance of life will be the greatest, unimaginably wonderful joy you can have. It's why you got born in the first place. But what most of us do, unfortunately, is we forget. We forget who's leading. We forget we're dancing. We're hiding in the corner. We're saying, not today. I don't want this. We're being deeply inconsistent in our practice, which leads us to look clunkier than ever. We don't want the privilege that we've been given. And so we all get in our own way, and we end up having a very bad performance in our lifetime. One has to acknowledge the partner. One has to have a dialogue with the partner. One has to say, help me do this. You have to listen when they tell you, or it tells you, work harder. Loosen up. Get rest. Eat better. Whatever it tells you, it will tell you what's required for you to get it right. Women understand this, of course, better than men, because men are always trying to lead. So are a lot of women. But on the dance floor, the tradition is the man leads. So how do men surrender to being led? It's a real twist. It's a switch that has to get thrown deep inside us. If you watch the men on these dance shows listening to their female partners, it's fun to watch their resistance to it. It's fun to see them going, but I'm the man, I'm in charge. And a good female partner lets you think that. But it's clear that the man is being instructed and ultimately given the role of leading by someone who knows how to give it and allow it to look good. God knows how to deal with each of us in our femininity, in our masculinity, in our ability to be led and our ability to lead. It knows when to give us the power and when to remove the power. If you are conscious of who you are at any given moment, you will know what place you are, where your foot is on the dance floor, where your body is in time and space, what you're supposed to be doing, what you're supposed to be receiving, what you're supposed to be giving. You will know, and you will do it. And it won't be coming through your head, because if you watch anybody dancing in their head, they look awful. But if you watch somebody dancing outside of their head, they are all fluidity and grace. That's what we're aiming for in our spiritual lives, to live a full life that is exquisite in its delivery, that is full of the joy of you. Again, I don't know why I'm talking about this dance show, but it seems to be speaking to me. If you watch some of those people on those shows, they are totally inappropriate to the role of dancer. They're too big, they're too small, they're too squashed, they're too tall, they're too ill-proportioned on so many levels, but it doesn't matter, because those are the people you most enjoy watching figure it out. And what I enjoy as a teacher is watching you guys figure it out. You guys do the dance. And when we sit here, I know it doesn't look like there's a lot of motion taking place. I know it looks like we're in a place of absolute stillness. But in truth, there is an extraordinary and exquisite movement being shared with us. Some of you are engaging that, some of you are not. Some of you are hiding in the corner, some of you come right out onto the dance floor. Some of you are exquisitely available, some of you are in complete resistance mode. My job is to play all the roles, and really, in truth, it's not my job, because I am being led in doing that. So as I surrender to the role of the teacher, you surrender to the role of the student. It will shift any number of times. There are times where I suddenly am getting information from you, and there are times where I need to be in charge of what you're doing. It's a dance. It is the dance. It is life. We will do this as long as there are partners in our life, and there always will be, both partners who you are wedded to and partners who you just have to work for and partners who you just meet for 2 minutes in your life. Whoever they are, they're there. They're part of your existence. They're part of your routine. Work it through. Figure out how to do it really beautifully and enjoy this opportunity. Enjoy this exquisite life of being on the dance floor, because you chose to come here and you're here. One way or the other, don't hide. Enter into it, engage it, embrace it, and be brilliant. Any questions? I know that, you know, when I sit down, I never know what's going to come out. And dancing was the last thing I thought I would be talking about today. But the metaphor is right. And I hope it sinks in.
Can you speak a bit about avoidance and responsibility?
Sure. Life brings things to you. They kind of come right in front of you and they sit down. Here I am. And then you have to respond to that. You can respond by saying, I engage this, it's here. You can have a responsibility to what is in front of you, or you can look askance. You can look to the other side. It's my son did a triathlon yesterday, and I saw one of the runners coming to the finish line, and his legs were so rubbery, it was scary, and he was looking like he was going to pass out. And I thought, oh God, I can't help him. I don't know how to help a guy who's passing out as he's running. And I really wasn't sure what to do. And I suddenly felt a responsibility to do something. And I felt horrible because I felt ill-equipped to handle it. And I kept looking, is there anybody else who could take over this responsibility? And I know I wanted to run from it. And in truth, I was praying there was somebody who could handle it. And another guy came up to him just before I felt, yikes, I'm going to have to handle this. And the other guy really seemed to take charge and knew what he was doing. But I could tell life had brought me very close to a moment that was really uncomfortable, for which I was deeply unprepared, and yet there it was. And I could feel everything in me wanting to avoid it, and I felt the grace of having somebody who knew what to do step in my place. There are times nothing steps in your place. It's yours. One way or the other, it's yours. And you really have to say, okay, here I am. And then do the best you can, whether you know what you're doing or not. And if you can really surrender, the right thing will come through. It always does. When you're brought into confrontation with something, there are forces available to help you do it right. And if you can be in a really deep surrendered mode, even say, you know, help me, God. It works. It just works. So many situations come at us that we hate, that we just don't want. It happens all the time. In fact, I'd say half of the situations of life are that, unless we are in a state of such avoidance that we manage to skirt every real issue that comes at us. Some people are really great at that. Their dance is the dance of avoidance. You know, and it's a really sad thing because everything that comes at you is opportunity. And what is it an opportunity to do? To engage life. To engage the richness and the fullness of life. And if you don't want to engage it, if you want to live disengaged, you will have a life that is diminished by every disengagement. Because what gives life its character, its fullness, its completeness, is your engagement. And disengagement is a way of hiding from the world that many, many people embrace and in fact end up with half lives or quarter lives or 2% of a life. To me, that's really sad. You have to be able to say, bring it on, and then open to it and respond to it as beautifully as you can. Does that get to it? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I'll be around for like 5 weeks, I think, with 1 week off, and I'll fill you in when that happens. But mostly I'm really grateful to see everybody. Really, just, I miss you, and it's really hard teaching in two parts of the country. I mean, you miss the ones you don't have and you love the ones you do have, but you know, it's an extraordinary thing to come back to the other and be so grateful to be there. So thank you guys for coming.